Welcome back to our Groundskeeper Chat series. I am your host, Meg Krueger, and we are live from Daytona Beach, the second day of the trade show here at SFMA Conference. And today I am joined by my, you know, it was unofficial at the start of this thing, but I think he's solidified a position on the crew at this rate. My co-host, Chris Vell.
It's temporary.
I don't know. You weaseled your way in. You were very excited about it.
I did weasel my way in.
He was like, I'm going to set the soundboard up right in the middle of this action, and I have to run it. And then we have two guests joining us. One who's very familiar to the channel, has been a support and an advocate for this podcast from day one, Miss Sun. And then we are joined by, and you know, Sun, I would have continued. I would have said Miss Sun and then your last name. But I've known you for 5 years now, and I still will not pronounce your last name perfectly. And I know you're about to say it and be like, it's this. And I'll be like, okay, great. And next time, I won't be able to say it because it really just, it trips me up.
It's Roseline, like clothesline. Easy way to remember it.
I don't think you've ever told me that. That's so easy.
But everyone says it's so different.
I know.
Somebody will say this and somebody will say this. I'm like, oh boy. Okay.
I'm always tempted to say like Rosalyn.
Yeah.
So
I'll answer. I mean,
Sun Roseline. So, yes. And then BJ Thomas. So what we're going to do is we're going to start off hearing BJ's turf origin story. So I got a little glimpse of it the other night. And we, you know, our paths have crossed in some way or another. So Chris, BJ actually went to Ursuline College, which is like right in Chris's neck of the woods.
Yeah, east side of Cleveland.
It is.
So, but then I never got the story on how you went from softball player to turf manager. So give that to us.
So first off, I thought I had this crazy unique story, but apparently everyone has a crazy unique story, so I don't feel so alienated anymore. So I started obviously playing college softball, played softball my whole life, and was like, I don't want to coach. I don't want to have to deal with it. What can I do in college athletics to keep me going, right? Mm-hmm. And I then started working in facilities at the University of Georgia as like a student worker, well, kind of student worker, part-time worker, holidays whenever I was home, just trying to make some money, right? Like, you got to have money to do things, right? So I did that, worked really hard, and my current boss now, Matt Holland, saw me working and was like, hey, I see your passion. I see you want to work. Like, would you be interested in a job? Could we just sit down and talk? Could we, you know, I was like, well, Matt, I don't know anything about grounds.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've lined a field once in college, and it looked terrible.
Yeah.
I had no string. I didn't know you pulled a string. Like, I had no idea. And I was like, this kind of looks fun, but that was the extent of it. And Matt's like, don't worry. Like, I can teach you whatever you need to know. We'll figure out how to fill in the gaps. I just kind of need somebody to help us out. I was like, okay, sure. Like, I'll give it a shot. And at that time, I was 22-ish. So, I was 6 months post-college. And I was like, okay, this is perfect. I got a segue into athletic administration or something else, like not outside all day, something that I can, you know, be with the team and still have that team fulfillment. Little did I know, 4.5 years later, I'm still in turf. I love it more than I ever thought I would, and kind of where I'm at. So I started as a groundskeeper too at the University of Georgia at our soccer softball fields. Learned from a great guy named Todd Wilkinson. He taught me a lot of things as well, in addition to Matt. And Todd decided to take a different spot at track, and, you know, because softball is very intensive, if any of you guys know that.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a pain, but we love it nonetheless. And when that happened, I was the interim foreman, kind of controlling day-to-day, making sure everything's taken care of at the facility, bouncing ideas off Matt, doing kind of whatever we needed to do. And then a year of that, he was like, hey, we're going to promote you to the foreman position. Like, it's yours. Honestly, I never thought I would be here in said position, but I'm happy it happened. There's a lot of trials and tribulations to get there.
Yeah.
But I think for myself, it taught me what I needed to know, what I didn't know, because I got that hands-on experience. I got the challenges firsthand. I didn't read about them in a book. I didn't, you know, hear about them from someone else. Like, I was going through it. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll just try X, Y, and Z and see what happens.
Yeah.
And that's, so now, like, when I do things, I'm like, ooh, I remember when I did that. That wasn't very good. Let's not do that again. But now with my networking and the community of people I have, I can ask people questions. And Sun will probably tell you, ask a lot of questions. And, I mean, I'm not afraid to ask a question. If I don't know it, I don't know it. And the only way I'm going to know it is to ask. So I'll just be like, hey, what am I doing wrong? How do I do this? How can I fix this? And the community's been awesome of just answering it to me and not getting annoyed and not be like, ugh, this girl again. Some of them may think that, but you know, at least they don't show it. So that's a plus.
I love it.
But they've all been great to kind of help guide me as to where I'm at as well.
That's great. And son, what percentage would you say, because now you've heard a lot of these turf origin stories at this rate. And I'll say from this side of, you know, the fence, like all of them typically start, like, I had no idea this was a career option. We hear that all the time. But what percentage would you estimate that is people like Matt who are just like, I see a hard worker and I just want to keep them on my team. And like, I will do whatever it takes. Like, I will teach them. I will spend the extra time. You know, Leah Withrow has hired, I think all three of her staff right now had no background. And she was like, I just see that we would jive well together. You know, what estimate would you say is that going on right now?
Well, those things you can't teach, right?
Yeah.
Passion. So, I mean, that's 100% what people look for, I think. Mm-hmm. Where that actually comes from as far as percentage-wise, I mean, totally throwing numbers out here, but, you know, probably 75% of people who didn't know about it just, you know, have those uncoachable or unteachable skills that are, like, inherent in who they are as a person.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to throw a number out there,
of course. I think that's why when we show up to these things, it's like everyone is, it's just, you know, like this magnetic energy. It's just because it is a bunch of people that just have those attributes that it's like they didn't learn about this in a book. Like, this is just who they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like coaching a team. I was also a college softball player, and you know, you can teach the skills, but there's, you know, the passion, the drive, the desire. You just can't teach those things. So when they show up in somebody, you know, it's apparent, and definitely somebody you want on your team.
Love that. And so BJ was a part of the second group that, you know, took charge over in Greenville during the Little League Softball World Series. So talk a little bit about, you know, how you guys found each other, you know, what it was like to be able to work together in Greenville. And then, you know, what that really has translated into in building a larger community.
Sure. So we have this program at the University of Georgia. It's called a Leadership Academy.
Okay.
And with that, you are chosen to go with a team, go to a school, and kind of meet them, meet your counterpart, get to know them. Kind of like a networking thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's like an interdepartment thing. Well, when I was going, my boss was like, hey, Nick McKenna's a good guy there, like, blah, blah, blah. You know, you should meet him. Talk to him, whatever. So I met Nick, and then while I was there, my boss Matt was like, hey, I don't know if you're interested in this, but they do this thing of an all-female grounds crew at the Little League World Series. If that's something you're ever interested in, Nick's the guy to talk to. Nick knows the lady that runs it. He's like, I don't know her, I don't know much about her, but talk to Nick.
Yeah.
So as I was talking to Nick, kind of getting to know him a little bit, I kind of slid that in there. I was like, hey, Matt mentioned this. Could you tell me a little bit more about it? I don't really know anything about it. Obviously, like, I'm still very new to the industry. I don't have a very big network. I feel like that would be a good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, absolutely. And either he texted Son, emailed Son something that day, that week. Within a week or two, I got an email from Son.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, it works that fast.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So I was glad I was able to get on the list because from what I've heard, it's a lot of people are very interested in it. And it's not always like, we don't always have enough spots or whatever it may be. That's why we had the two sessions this year, I believe, is from what I understood. And so from that, I was like, all right, let's figure it out. I had no idea anyone that was going.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, this is very new. I don't know what I'm doing. First off, like, being with a lot of women, that's also very different from what we're used to. So I was like, it's a little nerve wracking here, like, but whatever. And I just kind of jumped right in. And somehow I got in, no offense, what they call the older lady van or the senior citizen van.
Senior citizen.
I'll make my way back in. Don't worry. But I got in the van.
I can't get over that senior citizen van.
Everyone called it something different. So I was like, all right, whatever. Like, I'm just going to go with it. And I was like, all right, like, I don't really care. I can figure out something. And I sat in the back most of the time because I was the youngest and the smallest. I was like, I can be most agile, whatever.
Yes, yeah, because they all have those broken hips and everything.
you're just digging my hole deeper.
Come on, get our walkers in the back of that.
Can you guys edit that part out where I said senior citizen?
No,
like, people can't know that.
That's like, actually going to be the little clip that we like advertise this.
Great. I will dig my hole right now.
Well, BJ, to make you feel better, yesterday during my session, I was talking about someone who's retired in the industry, and I was like, you know, he has that cute little plot of grass that he takes care of now at his retirement home. And then I was like, oh, wait. The home he owns that he's retired at. So I'm with you there.
We'll just dig our holes and use that tamp behind us. Somebody can get us down in there.
Yes.
Perfect. So I got in that van, and obviously there's an amount of super knowledgeable women in there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, this is my perfect time to ask my questions. I have a lot of them. So I would think about stuff, ask them, whatever. And they would just be, I don't know, they were just all awesome at answering every single question. And I was like, look, I'm going to preface, I apologize. I will probably get on your guys' nerves of asking you questions. And Sun and Sarah are both like, no, please ask all the questions mm-hmm. you want. If I can't find it out, it's one, a challenge for me. Two, I will find somebody. I'll get you an answer soon. Can't guarantee when. So that's kind of like, when I got into that, started asking questions and knowing that they were like, really okay with my questions and really genuinely trying to help me and not give me a short answer, I was like, okay, I am more comfortable. Like, this is kind of my groove. Like, I can get with it.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of how we, I guess, met Mesh and everything. And then obviously I met a bunch of other amazing ladies who I still to this day will be like, hey, you do this, right? Like, how can I improve this? How can I do this better? So it's been a blessing in disguise. I never thought I would get so much out of it, but I think that was probably like the best thing for me.
Definitely.
Had I not gone to that, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
No shot.
Well,
that's really like the strength of our industry in one nutshell right there, between the advocacy for, hey, let's introduce you to somebody else in the profession. Oh, there's this really cool thing. You should get involved. And then having that information sharing, because, you know, that's what we want to help each other. We want to help each other get better. And I mean, BJ's story right there is really what is the strength of this profession.
Definitely. And, you know, building that network so that you can reach out and, you know, for help when you need it, but also like that community. And it's more than just like resources in the industry. It's people that you're like, I want to spend time with them. Like, they're now my friends. Like, I think of them fondly. I think after the first time I traveled with the women in turf team, you know, I had my epiphany where I was like, okay, this is where I want to be. But then the second time I came, I was like, man, this is like the greatest life hack. Like, mm-hmm. I've found a way to literally go on like a girl's vacation, like a girl's trip of sorts, like that, you know, all the people, you know, will go to the beach or do something like that. I'm like, this is the ultimate life hack. Like, I get to hang out with all my greatest friends, and it's under the guise of, you know, work.
Yeah.
But we are working.
Yeah, if by vacation you mean waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning,
exactly,
and going to work in the dark,
manual
coming home
labor.
In the dark.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think whether it's Doug or Chris, like, I when I was at Pebble Beach, they wrote in like the email that went out to like our coworkers, you know, Meg's out there in California, she's doing this cool thing. Don't get too jealous. Like, she literally is going to bed at 11 because that's what time they get home from the course, and then waking up at 3 a.m. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's definitely, yeah, you know, luxury, pampering, the definition of a girl's trip. But yeah, really how important that community is aside from the resource aspect of it. You know, not something that you always had, like, as far as, you know, you've always had Christy, and you guys, I love to call you the dynamic duo, but in, you know, in the last 3-4 years, it's like you've found this other home within the industry. If you want to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, gosh, I honestly don't even know where to start. It's really exploded, taking off. It's super mind-boggling to think that it really only has been a handful of years.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited to see the growth there and to connect with people in adjacent industries as well. You know, like you said, work in the golf tournament. So getting to meet the women who work on golf courses, you know, we face a lot of the same struggles. We mm-hmm. have a lot of the same successes. So it's really awesome to continue to build that network. get to advocate for sports field managers to somebody who's on a golf course, and they're like, wow, I mean, I'm getting texts during games like, what's going on here? Talk to me about this. Mm-hmm. Or, wow, a hybrid field? What is that? You know, so they're thinking, how can they take those ideas and maybe incorporate it at their courses? You know, yep. Maybe the driving range is going to be a hybrid surface, or so it's really cool to have more people to share ideas with that have a different perspective and different experience.
Definitely. And I think what I really like, what resonated for me when I was down in Greenville with you guys the first year, was all the OGs, the senior citizens. I like it. I'm honestly going to coin the term. I think it's for...
Don't let certain people hear it. They're going to be like, no, absolutely not.
Geriatric crew.
Yes. The OGs were so thrilled for what people like BJ and I were getting to experience, because you guys knew, okay, from this moment on, they don't have to go 20 years without having that community. They now have it. And how cool it is that, you know, when BJ wants to take that next step or even move up in her organization, she has this community that she can reach out to, the resources. Like, I think about Nina a lot, because Nina is also a mom in the industry. And it's like, she was probably one of the only, you know, female sports vendors at a time. And she didn't have anyone to talk to about, like, you know, how do you talk to other people, you know, other working parents, things like that. And now I have Nina, like, mm-hmm. and I have Abby, and it's, mm-hmm. it's so cool that I don't have to go through really any stage of my career without that really firm community. And what does that really feel like for you, BJ, as far as just knowing that you have, I mean, all those tools in your toolkit? That's because really at the end of the day, that's what we all are for each other.
Well, it's crazy because, I mean, like I said, all I've ever known is my boss, Matt, and then his assistant, Ethan, to ask questions to bounce ideas mm-hmm. off of. But now it's like, okay, well, you guys do field renovations or you do this. Like, I've texted Nina several times, called her, like, hey, I'm nail dragging and it looks like this. Like, can you give me some thoughts on it? Like, mm-hmm. what do you do? And then she's like, oh, well, I do it like this and this. But you don't have to do it that way, but just another way to think, another way to drag or whatever. So for me, it's like, okay, I can try it. And this was in the fall. I was like, it's my off season, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. I can try whatever. This is the time to try it. And so I tried. I was like, that works. Or, I could tweak it this way. It's like, it's just really nice to ask, like, different ways of doing things. Like, we all know there's, like, six different ways to skin a cat, right? Like, what you do may work for me, whatever. Like, it's just cool to have that community and know that no matter when I need them, what I need, they're going to be there. They're going to be able to answer those questions, and they're just going to be able to give guidance. Like, if I needed like a moral thing or like a job question, like, I know they would be there to give me the best support and the best advice they can for the situation.
Definitely. And son, you know, you kind of have the fun role of assembling us all for the Little League side. And you know, what is there something that you look for or hope for when these people show up, or, you know, what do you hope that happens? 'Cause I've experienced the magic, but is there a way to put that into words of like what, you know, the week before, what you hope that comes out of these events?
I think the biggest hope is everybody has a great time, mm-hmm. Gets to the opportunity to make some connections, and we work hard and have the opportunity to kind of showcase our profession in front of, you know, the young athletes, their families in the stands,
yeah.
the fans watching on TV. You know, besides putting together women from all over the country, all over their career paths, managing different kinds of fields, you know, fairly new in the industry to, you know, someone who's been in the industry for a while. you know, I think that magic kind of works itself out.
Yeah.
And that's not really something that you can plan for. You just kind of have to let it happen.
Yeah.
Making those connections and then really showcasing our profession, because, you know, having a group of women together, it is, it draws attention, right?
Yeah.
Draws some media, draws some people focusing on us, but that gives us the opportunity to talk about why we're here, what we're doing, what
yeah.
we do every day, why we're passionate about it. And that's really, like you said yesterday, mm-hmm. visibility for one is visibility for all. And
yeah.
I absolutely love that. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Love it.
As soon as you earn a spot or a seat at the table in your organization, whether you move up or leave, like, it's there for the next person. And how exciting that is. It's not going to just disappear out of the AD's mind or the, you know, the money movers, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll ask you guys to think on a memory from whether it's been this week or Little League, if we want to focus on something that just like when you were standing there, it was like a light bulb went off. Like you're like, oh, I'm a part of something cool here. Do either of you have like any of those moments that you could share?
I guess it's kind of a two part for me. Like when I got here late Monday night and Tuesday, everyone is in Sun and Sarah and Nina were like, hey, let us know when you get in. Like if you need anything, like let us know.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot what my first thing was on Tuesday, but I was like, like I think there's a lunch or something. And I was like, where do I go? Where do I sit? Nina's like, hey, come sit with us if you want to. You don't have to,
yeah,
but come sit with us. Like, we have a spot. And I was like, you know what? That's awesome because I'm here by myself. I mean, I know people, but I don't know a lot of people other than the women in Terps. I'm like,
yeah,
this is awesome. And they're like, they've been amazing at like, hey, this is so-and-so. Like, you know, I'm going to introduce you to them and this and this. Like, they're phenomenal with that, letting me meet different people and kind of expand that network as well. So, like, if I were to see them later, I'd be like, oh yeah, I met you. But then in Greenville, it was like probably that second to last day or the last day. I was like, wow. And even like in the evenings when we would kind of unwind and like talk and get together and talk, I was like, wow, like this is more than I ever thought I was going to get out of it. This mm-hmm. is more than just work. This is more than just like me being here to promote myself, to add to my resume. Like
mm-hmm.
at the first, I was like, yeah, like this would be great to put on a resume, right? And then I get there, I'm like, no, this is more for expanding my network, expanding my confidence, and just mm-hmm. having that community that I think is more than whatever you could put on a resume. It just,
well, yeah, and it's hard to put that experience into words.
It is. So I'm like, I'm losing my words here, but I'll say that if this means anything of words, if I wasn't there, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Yeah.
Like, at least not this point in my career. It mm-hmm. may have taken some time to get here, but for me to be here at this conference, I attribute it all to that trip. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of people I have to thank for that, that obviously put everything in motion, but it put me here. So I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Definitely.
I think we've all had that experience of having somebody take us under their wing. Mm-hmm. Darren Daly was one of the first people in the profession to do that same thing to me. Like, hey, I heard about you. I knew you were going to be here. It's your first conference. Come sit at this table. How can I help you? Here's my card. You know, reach out anytime. And so, you know, because somebody's done that for us, it's easy to turn around and do that for the next person.
Absolutely.
So mm-hmm. light bulb moments, Meg, how much time do we have?
I know.
I've had a lot of them.
Yeah.
A lot of them. It's been an incredible past several years for sure. I think the first year at Little League Softball, we kind of didn't know how it was going to work because we modeled after the U.S. Women's Open.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that was different was that we had high school students. You know, we had younger emerging professionals.
Yes.
Amongst the crew. We're at the golf tournament. You know, we're all kind of relatively in the same point in our careers. But to see those young people that first time really, like, take the reins.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to take over. They wanted to be in charge. They wanted to have that that extra special ownership of what we were doing. And I mean, that was really cool to see, especially when we talk about, you know, the future of our profession. You know, there's a lot of passion. There's a lot of drive. There's a lot of excitement out of the young people in our profession. So really excited to see that.
And I think the way I always describe it is like, it literally feels like summer camp for anyone who went. It's like this moment in time that you're like, I'll never be able to replicate this again. But it is like, you know, this a core memory for sure. It's going to be a long day with this voice. But I think, you know, if anybody is looking to get involved, you know, what are the ways that you would encourage them to? I mean, I'm always prone to just tell them, shoot me a message on social media. Like, and that's a friendship made. Like, it's an instant connection for me. But what are some other ways that you guys would want people to know that this is a community they can join?
Social media for sure.
Yep.
Easy. Everybody has it. It's accessible quickly.
Yeah.
You know, of course, email, phone calls. You mm-hmm. know, just reach out any way that's possible. Whatever works out. We do have a, you know, Women in Turf team website
mm-hmm.
Where we can start to get connected there. But say hello. I mean, if you see me in the hall or see us in the hall or the trade show or anything, just say hello. Stop by at work. Give me a call. Let me know you're in town. So
yep.
happy to spend time with.
Yep, son. And she's good on that promise. I was in Golden for, you know, an hour, and she made sure to come see me, and that was great. It started my trip off on the right note. And also, I think, you know, one thing and I hope we've made it clear, you know, just by how we've operated, is we're not like an exclusive group. Like, anybody can be a part of this. And definitely in the sense of, you know, support from afar, support, you know, right up in your face. Like, anyone can be a part of the Women in Turf team. It's, you know, that could be a vendor. That could be, you know, I think Chad and Kathy are the perfect example of that over at Bulldog Equipment. They, you know, were like, oh, I have no place here. I have no place here. That whole first year, and how we've all just, you know, we're like, oh, no, we're taking you on, you know, you're ours now.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a male dominated profession. And so we need the, you know, men who are supportive, who are willing to say like, yeah, come on, bring it on. What do you have?
Yeah.
Like, let's see, let's work on this together. And so certainly, you know, we're not doing this alone. We have a lot of support. We have a lot of advocates, and it's really fantastic. I mean, Chris Ball saying yes to that first Little League softball crew was a huge thing, and you know, just 2 years later, it's exploded. So it's really awesome.
Well, and I think that's something I know that we'll continue to do, is share the stories of the men in this industry, like Darren Daly, like my boss, Chris Bell, like the people that really are like, hey, like, you go, you know, do this, like, this is important, and I'm going to support it. And I hope, you know, as the Women in Turf team, we never stop sharing their story as well, because it's important to our narrative as well.
So you mentioned it's a male dominated industry, pretty obvious. I've seen it change a lot in the last 15 years that I've been in. It's leaps and bounds different, but still male dominated. What are some of the small things that, say, male managers can do to support females who are working for them, up and coming? Little things that they don't even realize is supportive. Maybe not be a grand gesture, but just small things.
I mean, something that's super simple that I had to fight for when I got my job was a ladies' cut shirt.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Seriously. You know, offering the option, and some ladies don't want a ladies' cut. You know, offering an option so that I'm wearing some clothing that I feel comfortable in. I feel like that's a pretty easy ask. But you know, when it comes to working with the crew, like, I don't want to be treated any different.
Sure.
And the grass doesn't care who's managing it. So, you know, just, I want to be treated the same as the entire crew. Let's get together. Let's work hard and
let's get dirty and get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't need any special treatment. I can carry the, you know, 50-pound bag of whatever it is I'm carrying. I'm capable of doing that. Yeah. So, I think, you know, support everybody the same as they need. So we talked about kind of equality versus
I loved that,
you know, with Brandon Bell. So, you know, there's a difference there. If you give everybody the same thing, you're not necessarily meeting needs, but getting at everybody what they need to succeed to get to the same point.
That's so real, you know, forward thinking and movement for all, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
We'll say that is where you and I differ. I take any opportunity to be like, oh, I will sit over here. And I've seen that so strongly reflected when I go and help document the crew, what the crew is doing. I'm like, I'm so glad I'm behind the camera, because there's not a chance nobody could convince me to do that stuff. And you guys are like, hell yeah, like, I'm doing this. Like, and I'm like, yeah, I would be like, excuse me, can you turn this thing on for me? So I'm the toxic one in the group.
It makes balance.
Yes, exactly. Yes. You need the other perspective.
Yes. But I think advocating is, you know, it's the biggest thing that, you know, to help support.
For sure.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
So BJ, looking at the weather report of our industry, you know, what, now that you have a front row seat to what's going on, what has you excited about what we have, you know, in the next year, in the next 5 years?
That's a great question. I think, I guess from a selfish standpoint, just for myself growing and learning the knowledge and realizing, like, there are other opportunities rather than going back to school to get your traditional turf degree, like conferences. I mean, I've told some of this, like, I'm probably nerding out a bit, but I'm in every class I can get in. While I've been here, I know some people are like, oh, that's a good one, or maybe I'm going to do this one. Like, I do apologize for not going to your talk, but I was at another one that I thought that I was
a
like,
massive
I need
on
to,
your, on
I
your
needed
profile.
To learn. I make up for it by listening to your podcast, so it's all good. But I think for me, it's just like filling in those gaps and figuring out, like, with the new educational opportunities that you guys are rolling out with SFMA, like, I think that's going to be huge for myself. I can do those at my own pace. I'm not judged on a book or a test or anything like that. I can figure out this is a weak point, this is a weak point. There's a seminar, there's a class, there's something on it that I can learn from, again, to make myself well-rounded. And hopefully once I feel confident in my knowledge and my quote-unquote expertise, I can pass that on to somebody with hopefully a similar story like myself to get them involved and, like, show them you don't have to have that traditional path.
Yeah.
Some people may think so, but I think, like they were talking in the keynote, being open-minded to not having that background, not having that degree is so huge. Mm-hmm. Like, and just hopefully other people will start to think that way as well. Like, you don't need, and I'm not dissing on the degree for everyone who has it, but you don't always need it. Like someone's saying, if you've got those qualities that are unteachable, uncoachable, however you want to say it, that makes up for, in my opinion, the certificate, the degree, the paper, whatever. Yeah. Like, you can fill in those gaps. You can always learn if you're willing to learn. Like, I just think that's the biggest thing.
Love that. Same question for you, son. What has you excited looking out on the horizon and the forecasts of our industry? You know, a lame little analogy I had to throw in.
So many things. I mean, I love seeing all the students here. I think that's fantastic because truly, you know, that's the next gen, I guess.
Yeah.
But so seeing all the young people here, seeing, you know, we've had as an association, we're seeing a growth, which is fantastic. So more people are getting involved with the SFMA, and to see the increased visibility of what we do. I think, you know, slowly we're kind of getting attention from the general public, from people who didn't really know it was a thing. And hopefully we turn that around to really letting people know how much expertise goes into what we do, and advocating for field managers as experts in the field.
I love it. Well, thank you guys for joining us early this morning. I always get something when I talk with you all. So I appreciate it. And I think that's all she wrote.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. It's been awesome.
Thank you guys.